I'm going to be loyal. And I'm going to be forthright. I try to be forthright all the time. And I might sound a little bit like I'm just beating up on black people. I'm going to tell it what I see. Sometimes it hurts because we're there. We're there. If you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah, first chapter of Isaiah. And I'm going to ask Deacon Smith to read verses 1 through 9 of the first chapter of Isaiah. Old Testament book, right after Psalms, and Songs of Solomon anyway. That's where it's at.
The vision of the Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear. O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nursed and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people do not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with oil. Your countryside is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like Gomorrah.
Man. But I'm just saying, when you look at black history, they were enslaved, Israelites, in Egypt for 400 years. Our time frame of coming in enslavement was very close to that here. Very close. It was, there was a 400 plus, ours was about just up to 400. In the time that we were enslaved, slavery had been out of existence. It was not something you saw. Even all over the countries in the Middle East and, well, maybe in Africa, that's where we come from. But in Europe, they didn't do that. They weren't doing that. We were the people that they could do it to because we looked like something way different than they were accustomed to looking like. It's easy to treat people who you see less than you, easy to treat them like they're nothing. And that's how they treated us, like we were nothing. I don't know if you all saw, I talked about it last week, but I guess to say it again, last week we were looking on TV, a show of the last slave ship brought to America, 110 people on it, and they showed the cloak, what's it called? Clotilda. And it was an illegal ship because they weren't supposed to do it. They had to get permission to go get slaves from the United government here. And they went and brought them in, and they were brought them in by night. And they burned the ship when they brought them in down in Alabama. And the people who were there, this came in like 1860. So slavery was over supposedly 65. So they were just new arrivals that just had made it. And they got out of slavery, but they didn't have nothing to, nothing, no materials to make their lives like it should be. Interesting, they developed a city down there called Africa Town. I asked Mother Harris, was she familiar with it? She said she hadn't heard of it, because she's from Alabama herself. And she hadn't heard of it, but the town became very prosperous. Compared to all the other places that people were out of slavery, these last few that came had something going on. But now it's withered away and there's not much there anyway. But in the early years, they seem to have something going on. Yes, our history, Black American history, mirrors the Hebrews. God had blessed the Hebrew people with so much. They had been brought into a land of milk and honey. God's blessings to them was abounding in their lives. They had everything they needed. Other nations would ride by and say, look at God's people. Envious of God's people. And yet, it seemed like something happened where the people became to be beside themselves. They seemed to be getting bigger in their own mind than they were really able to be called that. They called themselves somebody special, but they were not special. They should have been special because they were God's people. But they did not recognize what it meant to be special. Because when you're special with God, the first thing is he deserves your obedience. You cannot be special to God if you're not obedient to God's word. Can't be special. You are an enigma. God says to his people real quickly in verse 2, here's what he said. I have nourished and brought up children, and what? They have rebelled against me. I love them like children. Now, you know, come on that way. You know how we treat children. You can look around and know how we treat them. You may have forgotten about it, but somebody treated you as a child in a nice way. Like somebody had a rough drop beating up. Some of us got spanking. Some of us got a little rough, but for the most part, for children, there's a special alignment going on. And yet, he gave them that specialness. And he said in the next text, but they, even the ox know it, his owner. And these people act like they don't even know me. That's what God is saying. They had a rough thing going on, even though. And the reason why I believe people do that is why they turn against God is somewhere they give up. There's a giving up. And I should have told you first, that's the title of my sermon. They give up. People give up. People in even in the Black community, you look around, when you start seeing one after another fall, somebody's gave up. They don't see hope. Because you gotta have hope to move forward. But if there's no hope in your vision, you don't think you're gonna make it, you just say, well, whatever happens, happens. And a lot of Black Americans have fallen into that category. No hope. See, you can't even have real hope if you don't have Jesus Christ. Real hope comes through Christ Jesus and him crucified. That's our hope, is in the Lord. Our hope is in God. That's how our people came from the distant shores to America. When they came on, they knew that there was hope somewhere along the line. Even though they went to me now, somehow I'm going to get out of this. They didn't give up and say, well, just kill me. Some of the old brothers said, well, one down, I'm gonna go down, you going down too. That's because some of us Negroes act that way. I'll probably be in that boat right there. If I get a chance, if I just get one chance on it, you gonna go down, I'm going down too. We going down together. Yeah, that's that belief. Look at 4b. In the middle of that, they have forsaken the Lord. They have what? Provoked the Holy One of Israel. When you begin to forsake God, what you have done is you give it up because you realize God has all power. And so if you give it up on God, you give it up on everything that can help you. You can't make it when you give up on God. But we have given up as a people in a large sense of the way. They don't see no hope. And then they get mad when somebody else makes it all right. You make it out of the troubles and tribulations, they get mad with you, jealous of you. Am I right or wrong? What it's like, that's what happened. That's that old crab in the basket thing they talked about. Matter of fact, you almost got to move out of the neighborhood because things are looking good in your house. Oh, man, y'all got that in your house?
Yeah.
Don't let them know what you got. Put the box up, they're right. Don't let them know. Cut that box up. You got a 70-inch TV? Cut it up. Put that box away. That's the way it is. Because we get envious. Yeah, so I'm down, I'm going to make you down. Don't you look better than me. Don't you have more than me. Don't do that. Because I'm envious of you. And that's what we have come to. The people give up. These people, Israelites, were disrespecting God. Disobedient to God. That's who they were. Look at this part here. This one really sounds bad. 5. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. It makes you sick. That's how bad. That's how God is seeing his people. The whole head is sick. We got sickness in the black community. It's sickness all over the land now. I'm not just saying the black people. But we have sickness. Think about it. We are somewhere around 16 to 17% of America, black Americans. Yet we're 80% of the jail population. Come on, somebody. Don't. You said, Reverend, stay off that, right? Don't talk about that. I got to talk about it. That's our problem. Why are we so heavy in jail? Why can't we do right? Take out the percentage of bad laws against, let's say, 12%, something like that, 15%. What about the other 60-some percent? Why? Look at this. This is really one that gets me. I'll look this up. It used to be in the 80s, the mid-80s, early 90s, the black woman, the white woman, and the Hispanic women were put in jail at the same rate. And it was about 3%. The same rate. Now, the black women has tripled them. The white and the Hispanic are staying at the same rate, but the black women now are taking on stuff with men like men. And you know what that is all about? Homosexuality. Come on, somebody. You don't want to talk about it, do you? But that's who we are. We've fallen down. We become, as this verse says here, in verse 6, putrefying swords. You are putrefying means. That's oozing. That's coming out of sword. God calls his people that. We follow along the same trend as these folk have. Black women in jail like black men. Because they taking on this manly thing. These girls getting out of high school fighting each other. Killing each other. They taking on the miracle. The same thing they see the males doing. They're doing. Don't even look like women no more. Am I right or wrong? Am I weak or strong? I just want to tell you about it. You, somebody don't want to hear it. I'm telling you, Black America's in trouble. I know it's sad. You're supposed to be celebrating Black History Month. Black History, we're having trouble here. We're not recognizing who we are. Because there's nobody standing up to the things that's going on. Even our men have become cowards. We don't stand up to the truth. Back in the day, you remember, I know in the little neighborhood I came from, I came over to some man's house and I started cussing or saying something. His children there, that man gonna tell me, knock me down, get out of here. I don't care who your dad is. That's how they played it. You didn't come to her house, start cussing and talking all bad language. You respected that man's house. Now these young boys come up, talk to you, 12 years old, talk to you like a man. I remember we had a basketball game when I had the basketball program and I went in the city. I took a group of my kids in the city to play. And we were getting ready to start the game. And one of the kids from the neighborhood took our basketball while they were warming up. And I said, bring it back. He said to me, who made you balls? 12 years old, something like that. Who made you balls? I said, you better give me that basketball boy. He's doing me like, you come and take it. You know what I mean? I couldn't do that to a grown adult.
No,
but this is where they are. I said, boy, you better give me that ball before I break your neck. I would grab the ball from it. But I'm saying, they don't respect authority. Yeah. I'm not used to it. That's where we are, church.
Yeah.
Somebody said, Reverend's mad this morning. He's going out of his mind. But I just want you to know that until we get things right, we're going to be just like the Israelites. I said it wouldn't take me long. I've been 20 minutes. I want to show you my closing. Verse 9 gives us some hope. That's all I want you to have, a little bit of hope. There's a little bit of hope. It says this here. No. Before I get verse 9, I gotta go to verse 8. It says, the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Now, just in case somebody wants to read that and know what it means, have you ever seen a bed of cucumbers? They run everywhere. Well, what happens is, if you have a cottage, and many people down in my hometown, cucumber was a big thing when I was growing up. Cucumber patches.
Yeah.
People would grow, and big trucks would come, and I mean, they would
rip the root
big, cucumbers would grow well in the soil down in the area I'm from. It was big. My grandfather them had like 5 or 6 acres of cucumber. It would grow big, and it was something big for the market. You could get money for it. But if you wasn't careful, you left them somewhere. Those things would grow and walk right at the house, walk up the tree. Those vines would come and put a tree out if they would last long enough. The vines became very strong. And see, this is what he's talking about here. Their cities have been overcome by their trouble. It looked like a besieged city, like the city was being choked by the evil of the people were doing. And the stuff they were doing, they were choking the city. That's what's going on. Our cities are being choked. Nobody wants to say anything. And then if you say something, you don't love black people. I love my black people, but I hate the stuff that they're doing on the whole. When our young boys at 12 years old were shooting each other like the Wild Wild West, come on, somebody. Something got to be done. And I'm going to get to my last verse, but I remember that was a time when I would get in the car with the policeman out of Newcastle. You see, they wanted me to know what it looked like, and they kind of were asking me questions. Do I know this person or I know that person? And I had to think about my family because that's one of the things. Snitches get stitches. I'm going to get my stitches. So I tell them, I do know that. But most of the stuff's in the city, guys. But I see it happen right down here. Some of the kids that come to my basketball gym, I just have to tell them, look, here you are 13, 14 years old. You're high on marijuana coming in my gym. Go home. Get out of here. So I knew what they were doing. Yeah. And I'd take them home. Because I knew they were going through a struggle. I remember one of the boys telling me, we get out at 10 o'clock. One of the boys telling me, Rev, I ain't got nowhere to stay tonight. I said, go home to your mom. Said, my mom works at Chrysler. And she won't let me. She said, if I'm not, she won't give me no key to get in the house if she's not there. 12 years old, 13 years old, his mom wouldn't let him in the house. So he goes and spends the night with different boys. And his mom doesn't care. I felt for the boy. Yeah. I felt bad for the boy. And then I saw her one time come to the gym to pick him up. And I'm in the gym. She's outside with him. And I hear her cussing him out like a man, like a sailor. And I walk out, oh, man, man. Oh, and everything okay? I don't know what you're talking about here. This ain't right here. So I'm sorry, man. I won't do that no more. Yes, she is. I'm as soon as you got that car with that boy. Say, what do you do? Tell me you got me here. And start cussing at him again. I know it. Our kids are facing a rough time because parents are not being parents. Trump. Makes you want to cry.
Yes, it does.
But crying ain't doing nothing. Crying ain't bringing it back together again. We got to be busy about God's work. Here's what he says in verse 9 as I'm closing. So except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Solomon and Gomorrah. Except the Lord left us a remnant. Church, we are the remnant. You and I are the remnant. We have been left to do what God said do here on his kingdom work. We have to be patient with the children. We have to be long-suffering with the children. We have to be steadfast, unmoved, always abounding in God's work. We have to be that way. It's us, the church. If the church don't do it, there's no hope. We are that remnant that God is talking about. For the black people, we're the remnant. The church is the remnant for the black people. I'm not saying the white people don't need it too, but that their church don't operate like our church does. Our church operates as a community position. That's what the black church means in America. This is our holding ground. This is where we come and build up and get stronger. This is where we go and plan what we're going to do. I tell you, I went to a pastor's meeting on Wednesday, and I can't get some of these Caucasian brothers. They're brothers because they're in Christ.
Yeah.
I can't get them to see our situation. I tell them about it, but it doesn't register. Doesn't register. See, what they're doing is we need money for sending our kids to this college and that college. Yeah. I'm saying I need money to help a person stay off the street, to get in a motel tonight. To eat. That's what I'm telling about. And they say, oh, Grandma, what about this? They're shifting. Don't want to talk about that. They don't understand. But yet they have the resources. I'm talking about the churches in our association in Delaware They got some money, y'all. But we can't, unless we got, if I had a roof leak or something like that, they help me out. But when it comes to trying to minister to people and fix stuff, hey, Red, we love you, brothers. We love you. And they go on to another topic. They're very good at it. They're so swift with it, with the word change on me. I said, oh, God, they got it again. Don't go. But I love the brothers because, okay, our sound system.
Yeah.
They asked me, they were talking about it. I said, we don't have one. One of the church said, look, boom, here you go. We got a sound system. We haven't got it all connected in yet, but we got parts now. That's what they did for us. Thank you, God, for those people. But when I come to try to help somebody on their bending knees and crying for help and needing this and needing that, we'll talk social services. See, it's tough for them. It's tough. Because, see, in our churches, most of all our churches have lots of money. I'm talking about they start new churches out and they get 10 acres of land that's in Smyrna, Delaware, costing $100,000 an acre. Wow. Somebody donates that to them. Two churches that just, over the last 2 years, that just happened to them. I said, if I could get $10,000, $100,000, I'd buy this place right here. Yeah. So we can have better parking. We can't get nothing like that. Can't get nothing. But we're the remnant church. We still, our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is not in man. God will make provision for us in due season if we faint not. He said, I'll be with you. I am your rock. I am your salvation. Hold on and hang in there. It may look tough, but I got the answer. And the answer is in Jesus and Him alone. That's the answer. I got the answer. He's Jesus Christ. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that gave you what you have already. Don't forget Jesus. That's why you are remnant, because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad about it. I'm glad that we have that. I'm glad our hope is in the Lord. I'm glad that He said that though you walk through the valley, the shadow of death, fear no evil. My rod and my staff do comfort you. Though it looks like trouble on every side, I got you, church. I'm walking with you up the King's Highway. Hold on and see what the end gonna be. Hold on, hold on, hold on and see what the end gonna be. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So if anything you got out of this text, don't be like Israelites and give up. The remnant, we don't give up. If you go back in the back of the text, in the end, we win. In the end, we win. It's in the back of the book. Go back there and look at it. We win. Don't get depressed. Don't get all downtrodden. Know that your Maker has you in the palm of His hand. And everything's all right in my Father's house. Amen. Let the God have great joy.